what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. Then one could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today is March 21st, or 25th, 2010, in pagan time. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the first month, and the 21st day. At the beginning of every one of these little adventures, I have a responsibility and duty to get done. And that is to offer some blessings to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son, the Christ. So I'll begin. Dear Father in heaven, I offer blessings and praise to you as I offer blessings and praise to your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, we are approaching the midpoint of this little adventure. I want to thank you so much for those individuals that have been taking the course and have been responding. I want you to understand that they and I need more help, Father. And I beg you to have your Son pray my prayer to you so that the Helper will come to each of us. Thank you so very much, Father. And as always, I offer praise and blessings to you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever thought about in your own life, have you ever offered a blessing to the Father in heaven and said, hey, I want a blessing to come to you? You may have praised him, but did you ever say, I want a blessing to come to you? Have you ever said, I want a blessing to come to the Christ? Is that too far for us to understand that if, let's say, you have a friend of yours that does something nice for you, that you say thank you to him, and you offer a blessing. And we're saying thank you when we say blessing. We're saying thank you, and I want things to go good for you, Father. And the way things go good for the Father is we do correctly. That's how they go good for him. Now, he knows that we're going to mess up for a long time, but he also knows we're going to do good. So if we do good sooner, then we are blessing the Father and His only begotten Son, the Christ. Just a little thought. A little bit of business. I have in the last 2 weeks talked about a blog talk radio type thing for 1 hour that was supposed to follow this and where we could have call-ins, and we've run into technical problems. And now we're being told a week ahead of time there's going to be a technical problem for next week. So I'm not going to, you know, I can't handle that. Just can't handle that. And so we're not even going to try today when we're already told that next week we're going to have problems. So if anybody out there knows how to set up and get something where we get a one-hour type deal or a two-hour type deal, and they're able to solve the technical problems, and they want to volunteer to put this together, well, my phone number is on the website. Give me a call. Be happy to do it. I know that I've got lots of people that said, you know, I'd like to ask you some questions. Well, you know, I'd love to answer. But I just don't have any time in a 50, 25 minutes, and then 25 minutes to try and answer questions with the amount of material that I have to try to get out and get through. And apologize for my incompetence. So if anybody wants to volunteer, anybody wants to come up with something, anybody wants to give me a call on that specific subject, I'd be appreciative, and I generally prefer calls after 6:30 in the evening. Okay. We're going to be starting today is like a two-week deal, and we're in Chapter 3, and we've already done Part A. We're going to be on Part B, and we're going to be on Part C over the course of 2 weeks. And it's going to be, you say, well, how are you going to do in two parts? You know, same, you know, today and next week. Well, you got to go back and forth. And also, I will tell you that if you do not have your paperwork in front of you, or if you don't have your computer screen up to freedom-school.com and go to the link to my name, Jerry F. Kirk, and get to Chapter 3 and Part B, which is called Three Units, Private Conveyance. It's got a 1, 2, and a 3 after it. You're not going to be able to keep up with what's going on today. And if you just go there at a later date and you just read the paper and you don't listen to the verbiage, you're not going to get it all, because there's going to be stuff that's in the verbiage that is not tight. And I've been telling people for a long time, this course is not set up where, you know, that you can just take and do one or the other. As a matter of fact, besides just doing both, you have to do some research, you have to do some study. And so this subject is a subject that I've heard people talk about for a long time. I have never found any individual, with the exception of one gentleman out in California, and as I understand it, he's about 85, 86 years old, that has had much success on this. And his last name, as I recall, was McDonald. And I, you know, did not like his exact methods, but he was, you know, I admired his tenacity, and he just worried them to death. But he also had to go to court a whole lot. The Christ orders are in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Oh, my people, come out of her, that being Babylon, lest you partake of her sins and her plagues. Now, that going into a courtroom is Babylon. So the whole idea is not to get pulled over, citations, go to court, sentences, and fine. You're not supposed to be in Babylon. Now, quite frankly, I'm one of these, you know, goofy guys, I guess. I kind of like going to a courtroom because I have fun in there. But I'm somewhat a little bit more experienced than some folks are in a courtroom, okay? And I enjoy it because I like handing my opposition's head to them in their hand and say, hey, your ass is kind of skinny now, you know, isn't it? You know, you got your ass whipped. And I kind of enjoy that. But I don't like to go into a courtroom and have stupid battles. I don't believe in starting fights. So the whole point of what we're going to be talking about this week and next week is how not to get pulled over, and how not to get a ticket, and how not to get a fine, and how not to get a sentence. Now that sounds a little better to me. However, you cannot just take and look at these this week and next week and think you're going to accomplish it, as I have told people. The only thing that in this course that you could go out and do right now is your notorious declaration, setting your jurisdiction. I do not recommend to anybody to go out and do any of the other things until you learn and listen to the whole course. Those people that have been listening along, or somebody that's right here, I have 7 chapters. I go to this chapter, to that chapter, and back and forth and back and forth. I do that on purpose because I want everybody to have a little piece of this, a little piece of this, and start bringing it together. If I were to stay just in Chapter 1 and do all of Chapter 1, it wouldn't be doing you any good because it wouldn't start gelling in your head. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe somebody else can, you know, read my mind, read this paper that's not put up, but you've got to see it start coming together. You pull a little piece here, and all of a sudden the puzzle starts fitting. So, now, I have been conveying, as opposed to driving, for over 10 years in my area. Bearing in mind that I have repeatedly told people that the Christ says in the Word of God, he's talking about, and there shall be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and all these other things. And then he says, those of you that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. I fled to the mountains to do what I'm doing. If you're in the mountains, you're in a rural area. You are dealing with a certain lower number of members of law enforcement. If I was in Atlanta, Georgia, I might be dealing with as many as 10,000 different types of law enforcement from city, county, and state. That's a whole lot of people for one individual to educate. And on top of it, my master said to get to the mountain. So, if you're sitting down there in Atlanta, Georgia, or Detroit, or New York City, and you go out there and you start doing some of this stuff, and you say, man, it isn't working for me. I say, well, where are you? Oh, tell me about all those mountains in New York City. Tell me about all those mountains in Los Angeles or Dallas. This is done, this coming out of Babylon, is done by following the Father's law, by paralleling his law and man's law and where we need to be. And the people that go out there and they're in Atlanta, and they don't have success, at least have the guts when you stand up and say, you know, I did everything Jerry said, and it didn't work for me. Be able to tell everybody, you know, I was in Atlanta. I wasn't in the mountains. Hear me clearly, people. You must follow the Father's law to do this. You must be under his jurisdiction. That's what a notorious declaration is. So, think about that. Now, I have been doing this stuff for over 10 years. I have never had any harassment. I have never had any member of law enforcement being city, county, or state cops, or, you know, federal guys. I've never seen one of them either. Get behind me, turn on the blue light, or turn on their siren, or hand motion me over. Never. I have never had to go to court about this issue. That, to me, sounds like a halfway decent track record. I haven't had to go to court 10 times to fight this to say, oh, yeah, I'm doing it. Now, there is one incident that some people might say I was harassed. So I want to be very clear and tell everybody at the beginning of this that particular incident. I had been doing this for just a little over 2 years. And I had told another man that he and I agreed to meet at a certain gas station and that we were going to go somewhere together. So I got to the gas station a little bit early, because I wanted a cup of coffee, and I wanted to get a newspaper, and I wanted to read it. So I got there like 10 minutes early. When I walked out of the gas station, there was an Arkansas state trooper filling up his gas tank in his trooper car. And as I walked out, he said, hi, how you doing? I said, fine, how are you? He then said, is that your van over there? I said, yeah. He said, is that a tag on your van? And I said, no, it is not. That is a private conveyance information sign. Now, listen to me. I'm belaboring this story on purpose. If I would have said it was a tag, he would have had the rights to come forward and get on to me and bother me. Because a tag belongs to the corporate government. I had a private conveyance information sign. I did not say that's a tag. I didn't say I don't have a tag. I said I had a private conveyance information sign. You got to know what to say. You got to know how to handle serpents. Anyway, this guy said, is your name Jerry Kirk? I said, yes, it is. How are you today, officer? He said, I've read your manure. He didn't use that word. He used the S-H-I-T word. And I said, well, that's great. He said, I don't think you know manure. And use that word. And I said, I'm sure you're a legal scholar. He said, I'm going to arrest you and have your van towed and blah, blah, blah. He asked me for a towing company. I said, I don't know a towing company. He said, well, good. I'll call one from Harrison. That's about 50 miles away. And I'll have it towed up there. That's going to cost you a fortune. I said, thank you. I said, I need to make a lot of money. And he said, as soon as I pay, I'm going to get you. I said, great. I went over to my van, opened the door, rolled the window down. I wasn't planning on doing that. Stuck my left leg out the window, lit a little cigar, started drinking my coffee, reading the newspaper. A couple minutes later, my friend pulled up. He says, what are you doing? You know, look a little funny, me sitting in my van, my left leg out the window. I said, oh, this cop over there, he said he's got a promise to arrest me. And my buddy said, well, quick, jump in my van, in my car, truck, and we'll get out of here. I said, are you kidding me? I've been waiting over 2 years to have somebody play with me. So sure enough, the cop came out of the gas station after paying, and he turned on his lights, and he turned on his siren, and he did a squealing 360-degree turn in the parking lot and came up and slid right up behind my van. So my buddy and I are sitting there, and a little while went by, a little while longer got by, and this guy hadn't come up to, you know, start talking to me. And my buddy said, you know, what's going on? I said, it sure has taken this guy a long time. And I said, yeah, it sure is. So I got out of my van, and I looked, and he was gone. And neither one of us had heard him start up and leave. We were sitting there, and I was laughing and talking. And he had left. My buddy said, well, that was great. I said, yeah, jump in my van. Let's go find him. He said, what? I said, yeah, let's go get him. We lost him. So my buddy said, okay, he got my van, and we raced to the sheriff's department, and sure enough, there's a state trooper. I went into the sheriff's office, I said, hey, how did I get lost? You know, I'm right here. You promised you were going to give me a ticket. 2 weeks later, he was transferred completely out of this area. Now, that is the level of harassment that I received. And I'll tell you what, I was disappointed because I didn't get to use intent to commit fraud on his little skinny ass for using that type of language on me. And at the end of my paperwork, you're going to be hearing about intent to commit fraud. And when you're dealing with government, if you don't know how to put them under intent to commit fraud, guess what? They have no incentive to leave you alone. You can go out there and claim fraud all you want. You can go to court and you can spend years in court and eventually you can get fraud proven against you. And you know what at best will happen to that elected official or that member of law enforcement or that judge or anybody? They might get a slap on their hand. And you ain't going to get diddly. You go out and prove intent to commit fraud and you're going to own their skinny ass. And they know that I know that. You know how I learned that? Because that's how my dad removed judges and attorneys and cops for a number of decades. Intent to commit fraud. If you don't get anything about this week and next week, you need to learn that term. That's what this is about. Setting the table, leveling the playing field, pointing out what's what, and saying, guess what, guys? If you do something against what's on the table, I'm going to get you on intent to commit fraud. And they know what it means. You might not know what it means today, but you have the opportunity to learn what it means. It took me 17 minutes to get to this point to get started. I apologize, but you needed to hear the only incident. I have never been stopped. Now, there have been a number of times that I pulled into the feed store, and a cop will pull in without his lights or siren on, you know, like an out-of-the-area cop. I've seen some kind of funny lettering thing. And I pulled up the feed store, and guys say, well, looks like this is your day, Jerry. I said, yeah, well, I ain't got time. I said, I wonder if you'll still be there after I go in and I pay for what I'm going to get loaded on the dock. And you guys let me know how long it takes him to be on the radio and what he does. Now, that's happened about 3 or 4 times. And the time I get through ordering, you know, 2 or 3 bags of feed for my animal, I walk out, the guys on the dock say, yep, he got in on the radio, and he put that radio down, and he boogied out of here. I go, yeah, isn't that interesting? That's the other key part about this process. You put your name and all your stuff out there, and you force them to list it, post it, and codify it. And they have to radio in. When they radio in, they find out who you are. They say, "Oh, that's that son of a bitch, Jerry Kirk. Don't bother him. He loves to go into the briar patch. Don't bother him." And guess what? His paperwork's pretty good. They don't tell that to the cops. And it's a shame. It's a shame that they won't allow the members of law enforcement to go over and learn the paperwork. Now, there have been some members of law enforcement in my area that have sat down and looked at the paperwork, and they have said to my face, "I wish," and I did never have two or three of them at one time, but I've had three of them tell me this, "I wish I could do what you're doing." And I said, "You can. I can show you how to be a state trooper. I can show you how to be a city cop. I can show you how to be a county deputy. And or state trooper, or whatever, and you can do the same thing I'm doing." And they go, "Ugh, you realize all the problems I'd have?" And I said, "You won't have any." And I said, "You'll be setting an example for the rest of the members of law enforcement." But it's a little heady to them. But it is possible to do this at all levels. So I've given 110% disclosure about my problem. I, quite frankly, haven't had any problems. Except I had a little bit of fun, you know, that one time talking to that state trooper. Okay, now we're going to start. The first item on this is something that is dated 10/29/1996. It is on the page. It's the one with a circle on it. You will notice that it's an address down in Gotha, Florida. And this is relative to vehicle history. In essence, the note there tells you what it, on the page, it's handwritten in there. You must try to find out the history of your motor vehicle. You are getting ready to turn your motor vehicle into a private conveyance. Under this, you must find out if a hard copy exists of your original paperwork. In Florida, when I checked this out at that time, I found out their hard copies, being paper or microfiche, were destroyed after 8 years. The individual states change. I don't know how your individual state is. If the hard copies exist, being paper or microfiche, you must send out a letter when you do your paperwork saying, "I demand it back and cancel those particular pieces of paper. It didn't exist for me, so big deal. I didn't need to go anything further than that." This is important to find that out. Simple one-page piece of paper, obviously with your state. You have to figure out where your address and stuff is, your Department of Motor Vehicles. All right, number on 2A, November 21st, 1998. This is a notification requirement to correct errors. And at that particular time, my van was a motor vehicle. However, if you will notice at the top of the page, I had already established my address. And we will talk more about the address as we go on in this next 2 weeks. The Department of Motor Vehicles, when I went in, and remember, I still had a motor vehicle, to get a tag and to present my insurance, they refused to put the correct address on there. I knew they would do this. Knowing that they would do this, that they would do things incorrectly, it is pretty simple to read this piece of paper. I don't have to read the whole thing out and over for you. You can read it yourself. It's self-explanatory. Now we go to item 2B. December 16, 1998. This is the response to that previously mentioned letter. And this is kind of very important. Number one, you can understand that. Number one, part two of it, as your name being printed in all uppercase letters, our computer system is designed for printing in uppercase only. Therefore, all information is printed in uppercase. Remember that, because when we get to the address, I'm going to explain this. This is their proof that their computer system is goofy. The next thing, item two. The address cannot be printed as your request because of space limitations. Wow! Very important when we come to the address. I got it in writing. This is what you need to see on this piece of paper. They can't do what they're required to do by law. Get to the address, we'll explain that. That's the piece of paper that is pretty cool to have. They can't do it because their computer tells them what to do. Now we move up to January 22nd, 1999. And I had sent them some letters, and they were not, as you had just seen, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So, they always, when you send a letter, you'll notice if you read this letter, I state in here, I draw your attention to the first sentence of said letter, which plainly and clearly uses the word required. There is no word or indication of the word request. In their response, they said, you use the word request or requesting four times. A request is defined as meaning optional to the person which to the request is given. You can't make a request to the government, folks. You demand. You require. You stand up and you say, no way, Jose. I am not standing here with my hat in my hand and saying, please do this. You demand it. Then they turn around and they say that you requested it. They just committed fraud. They lied to you. You never requested it. Now you know who you're dealing with. Liars. That gives you a little bit more incentive because I don't like liars. If you love liars, go ahead and deal with them. You can see that my language is on there. And then I now start to go forward. However, you need to notice the date. And on the date, you'll see this is in 99. Whoops. And then you see that I revoked the title on them. And then you go, wait a minute. You revoked the title in 99, and we're going to go through some other paperwork, but he doesn't do anything and turn it into a so-called do all the paperwork for another year. I just wanted to see if they wanted to play with me. I don't advise, or I never advise anybody, but I don't recommend anybody to do it with that one-year lapse like I did it. You might not have the exact wherewithal in a courtroom. I was wanting to get in, you know, just get in there and, you know, slug it out with them, too. I knew I was still going to do this paperwork, but I wanted to give them 1 year to think about whether they wanted to play with me. So I don't go out there and just do things absolutely always the smartest way if you say, well, you know, he could have made sure he never got in a fight. Well, I kind of thought I wanted to get in a fight because I wanted to, you know, I kind of enjoy handing heads to people that play games, that lie to me. Now, I'm not saying that each and every one of these individuals that sent me a letter knew they were lying. They were just doing what they were told to do by their bosses. And most people compartmentalize and make excuses, and they don't check it out. All right, so I'm not calling them individually a liar. I'm saying that their policies are lies. Understand that. There's a big difference. Notice the date. You're then in 99, and you'll notice when we get up to the van, you'll see it's in 2000, in January of 2000. It's a big thing to notice. Now, we're getting ready, it appears, on my little clock here to hit a break. And so I'm going to tell you that the next item we're going to look at is, let's get a title. And I'm hearing the music, so we'll catch us at the bottom of the half hour. Thank you.
Problems, just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Kerplop!
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerry Kirk. This is the 12th of 26 weeks of an offering or course, whatever you want to call it. This is the gathering offering. The paperwork is available on freedom-school.com. If for some reason and you don't have a tape recorder and you didn't listen to one of the beginning shows and you happen to be listening to this on a radio satellite receiver or shortwave, I have told people you should get a tape recorder and listen to this stuff. However, if you do go to First Amendment Radio, there are archives. I paid for the archives. You do not have to pay. You can go there and listen to the archives. And I paid for it. You cannot send any money to me to help me pay for the archives. I've already paid for them. Okay? So, you know, I've set you up where you can do that. I wish that I had enough money to make up 100,000 sets of this 26-week course and just send out 100,000 to whoever, you know, want them. I don't have that kind of money. Okay? Anyway, and if you are not following along by looking at this paperwork right now, you're going to be having, you know, you're going to be wondering, what's this guy talking about? Page 2E is what we're on right now. This is a copy of the certificate of title on my 78 Ford van. You can clearly read across it, this certificate of title is null, void, and canceled by revocation of my signature and power of attorney of same. Signed by me, dated by me. This is a copy of the original. And if you don't understand and you're involved in this, that a certificate of title gives ownership to the state that you did it through your power of attorney, you need to rethink your thinking. A power of attorney is a type of contract. You have two types of contracts in basis. One type of contract is a specific performance contract. You go down to a bank, you want to buy a car, they say 36 payments, $100 a month. And that contract ends when you make your 36 payments on time of $100. You have an open-ended contract that is not, it just goes on and on and on forever. And that's one like a certificate of title. And your power of attorney creates that. You, on an open-ended contract, non-specific performance contract, either party may cancel that contract at any time because there is no ending date in that contract. So you can cancel it. That's law. You can get rid of your title anytime you want. Now, for those people that are look at things, look on this title and you'll see there is an affordable bail bond, the lien holder, and the date is November 24th, 1997. You'll see that it's released in February 9th, 1998. And I was in a motor vehicle at that time. Look at your dates. And a city cop was trying to play with me here in Marshall. This is another story. And when it was all over, he left and went to baseball. And so, that's another story. And that is not in the private conveyance. And it was actually very involved because they had, in Florida, come up with some bogus felony charges against me. I went down there, straightened that out in 3 or 4 days. They completely threw all that stuff out the window. And the circuit courts up here in Arkansas, after they had tried to extradite me, and they couldn't extradite me, completely different story. I went down there myself. They couldn't even put me in jail. And then I called them back up, and I said, hey, here's the letter from the state attorney down there in Orlando. They were all bogus charges. But, that it was not a result of doing a private conveyance. That was the result of some idiot down there in Orlando that had seen the ticket up in Arkansas because I wouldn't do what they told me, even when I had a motor vehicle. And it was one hell of a lot of fun going into the courtroom up here. That's another story. Now, the next pages you're going to come to are out of order. On the website, they are dated May 13, 2002, so just skip over those pieces of paper. And then you're going to come to some pieces of paper. 3-1, January 4, 2000. Okay, here again, I'm going to tell you, when I say skip over them, that means for right now. Both of those two sets of pieces of paper that I talked about, 3-1 through 3-6, and the first one, on the Jeep, skip over them. He said, why skip over them? Well, because we're going to go on to the Bronco, to the Ford Bronco, and it has corrections on it. I'm not going to go over all the individual corrections, in other words, things that I either did wrong or I think I could do better now, three different times. I'm going to go over them and catch them all when we get to the Bronco and cover them all at that time. You are required to understand this, to read about the van, and to read about the Jeep wagon. And you must read them side by side, which they're both identical, by the way. So it's only like you got to read one. Those are just there so you can see my exact paperwork and what I did and when I did it. It is important to note that I had the Jeep wagon and the van at the same time. I didn't have the Bronco until a number of years later. You can notice that on the van, I did it in January 2000. And yet I still had a Jeep wagon. And the reason why is because, and the Jeep wagon was a motor vehicle, because I didn't know anybody that had ever done this successfully, and I wasn't exactly sure of how the degree of problems that I would have. So I said, well, they may impound my van. I may have to be in a fight here for a while. So I'm going to have a Jeep. It's still a motor vehicle, and I'm going to roll around in it if I have problems. Well, after 2 years, when I didn't have any problems, I said, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of this Jeep deal. And it's kind of interesting, after I got rid of the Jeep as being a motor vehicle, it wasn't too much longer after I had just turned it into a private conveyance that I was going down a road, a rock road, And I saw this lady wasn't paying attention and heading my way. And I said, she's going to run into me. So, shortening the accident, she hit me head on. And I had just about gotten to a complete stop, and I was trying to go for reverse, but I didn't, you know, wasn't able to back up fast enough when she smashed into me. The sheriff came, one of his deputies came, an ambulance came, and a tow truck came. And the sheriff and everything just said, okay, Jerry, that's it. No problem. They knew I didn't have a driver's license tag or insurance. They didn't do anything. At an accident where she had to go to the hospital. And her name was Mrs. Arter. Very nice lady. She just was going too fast, not paying attention, and didn't get over to her side of the road. Came on to my side of the road and hit me. Now, also, my Jeep was damaged. And her insurance company got a hold of me 2 days later, came over, and they wrote me a check. I was in private conveyance. I thought that was pretty interesting. They didn't give me any hard time about the fact it wasn't a motor vehicle. They paid me. As a matter of fact, when they got through with all the damages, listing it out, they said it's like $2,400. And then they said, well, that thing's a 1984. It's only worth $1,200. We can only pay you $1,200. I said, oh, well, that's a shame. I guess your attorneys are going to charge you at least $10,000 when I get through the courtroom. And they said, oh, well, and I said, you know, of course you're going to lose because, you know, I'm going to sue the snot out of you. And, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money here. And he said, well, in that case, I'll give you the $2,600. And I said, no, I want $2,800 plus I want towing. So he wrote me a check for a little over $2,900 for a 1984 Jeep. It was a private conveyance. Now, one other thing I need to tell you, which I don't have the paperwork, because there is no paperwork. When I canceled the title on the van, I went down to Shelter Insurance, is where I had the insurance on it. I had one of these nominal policies. And I handed it to the owner, who was the agent. And he said, Jerry, I've got to cancel your insurance right now. I said, oh, really? He said, we're not allowed to have insurance on something that's not a motor vehicle. I said, oh, really? Like I didn't know that. When you're not in a motor vehicle, they cannot sell you insurance. They can't charge you with failure to have insurance because there's no insurance company that can sell you insurance on a private conveyance. Ah, how about that? Makes it simple. All right, we're going to move on to item, which is entitled 3-7. On that item right there, it's a blessing for all of y'all that when I photocopy it, my picture doesn't show up. This is very, very important. It says, inhabitant of Arkansas, the state, conveyors information card. Now, where'd I come up with that? I made it up. There wasn't some kind of book that you got to go to and say, do this. However, there are Supreme Court cases that talk about private conveyance. You have previously, if you've been in this course and in this chapter, you see something called a declaration of inhabitants. So there you got a couple of them. And notice it does not say state of Arkansas. It says Arkansas the state. That's... State of Arkansas means the corporation. Arkansas of the state is that entity that existed before your state became a corporation, before it joined the federal government. It still exists, it's just nobody's working there. Nobody, the governor doesn't even, you know, he's there, but he ain't acting as the governor for Arkansas of the state. He's acting for the governor of the state of Arkansas. Now, that's pretty neat. Nobody's there. You'll notice that my normal 8-line address is stretched out. I'm sorry, but I just had a regular typewriter. I didn't have a way to make it into the proper 8 lines. You know, with the technology other people is, you should keep your address in an 8-line. But it hasn't bothered me. The items that are on here, on the front, you must have all of that information exactly. You may not delete anything. When we get to Bronco, we'll be discussing the specifics of that because there's a Supreme Court case that says you got to have all that stuff. I think it's kind of interesting on two things here. First of all, I don't have a birth date. You'll notice I have a born, B-O-R-N, date. You will also notice that there's an expiration date that is 100 years later after I was born. You must have an expiration date. I thought it'd be a little bit cute to have, you know, the same piece of paper for 100, you know, till I was 100. I don't want to have to do something like this every week or every year or every 4 years. The court only said it has to have an expiration date. Didn't say it had to be every 4 years or 2 years. So I said, okay, I'm not sure how much private conveying I'll be doing when I'm 100, but, you know, I'll approach that problem when I'm 100. Notice on here that it says book number, miscellaneous 82, page number 192. This is critical because this is referring back to the page where you record it in your county, your address, when you do the Declaration of Inhabitants. And you must have that book number and page number, or you're in deep doo-doo. You must have everything on here. You must learn how to, you know, go down there and record your paperwork and get that number. The back of it, you know, when we get to notes, you'll see that that when I put in YWHW and all this other sovereign rights and Dred Scott in the notes that will come next week, I'm not going to explain this. Don't do it. I wouldn't do that. I think that was an error, and I wouldn't do that if I did it today. All right. Now, you then look at some pieces of paper that are real simple, 38, 39, 310, and that's where I notice various members of law enforcement. 38 is Captain Harp. He's a troop commander up in Harrison. That's the area of the region for the state troopers. At the particular time, 3-9, you see Colonel Thomas Mars. He's the state police guy. And you'll see the registration number and the stamps that I sent him that. 3-10, that's the county sheriff. And, you know, again, the stamps. I'm not BSing about this stuff, folks. I've done it. Okay? Now, in addition, you know, you can read 4A. That is where I made an amendment. And remember, it says amendment. When we get to the actual the constructive notice and requirement to perform, if you don't put in there that you're allowed to amend it, then you can't make corrections. You must make sure that you're allowed to amend it in the paperwork. So I found out that I made an error, and you will then look at 4B. And you know, the actual size, photocopy, it's, the color is not correct. It's not black and white, actually. You know, it's in red and blue. But you can see 4B, and you can read the letter on 4A, and you can see where I made the correction. And then you can see 4C. Now, on 4C, this is real simple. I put the colors there so you can see what my colors are. And that's on all three of my units, exactly that way. I had a man, you know, make up some things, and we put the red sticky stuff, you know, letters on there, and they're on there, and they look beautiful. And I'm very proud of that. And so, but you must send them a copy of your private conveyance information sign. If you don't send them a copy, how is the police officer that gets behind you going to know who you are to leave you alone? If you don't send them your private conveyance information card, how are you going to have any ID? Okay? So, there's reasons for this. Now, we've got about 10 or 12 minutes. And now we're moving up to what is just in your paperwork called a Ford Bronco. It is September 20th, 2007. I again mentioned to you that you need to read the differences between the van and the Jeep paperwork and the paperwork on the Bronco. I think I'm, in my opinion, I did a little bit better job on the Bronco. I'm not going to discuss each and every one of the errors on the van and the Jeep. That should be up to you to be able to read those two sets of papers and say, wow, look, that's different. I wonder why it is. And if I don't catch it in the verbal, then you'll say, well, maybe he didn't want to do that anymore. Maybe he had a reason. Okay. Now, you'll see my address. You'll see that it's a constructive notice and requirement to perform. Again, if you did not see where I sent the notice of service and service to the troop commander, to the head of the state police, and to the county sheriff, you would have said, well, where's his notice of service and service? Well, that was sent to them, and I send a notice of service and service. You must do both. You can't just have a notice of service, and you cannot just have a service. It must be notice of service and service. and it's sent to them. And that has to be there. And if it ain't there, you're going to get doo-doo. Now, I didn't re-photocopy all this stuff over and over. If you're not listening, if you're going to the website and you're not listening to the show, you're going to get in trouble. And I've told people that over and over. I can't type and do all this 50 million times. I don't have a secretary and a big staff. You got to use your brain. You must send a notice of service and service. Okay. Now, if you'll notice, I'm addressing it to the governor and his successors. I don't want to have to do this paperwork every time they switch governors. You know, originally when I did my van and the Jeep, you'll see it's a guy named Huckabee. Now you see it's a guy named BB. I didn't re-notice BB on the van and the Jeep, and I still go anywhere I want in the van and the Jeep. It says, and successors. Think. You don't want to have to be doing this every time they switch some kind of elected official. Save yourself a little work. Now, this is very important. With all due respect and courtesy, you are hereby served in your individual capacity and in your official capacity. You must serve them in official and individual capacity. That's what makes, at the end of this deal, on these private conveyances, that's what puts the power into intent to commit fraud. In their official capacity, they have insurance. In their individual capacity, they don't have insurance. However, 3 years ago, I was told that in Arkansas, they passed a law that made these guys get insurance on their individual capacity. And a member of law enforcement came up and kind of was snickering about it. And I said, well, that's great. Now I get money from two insurance companies. I'm still going to sue the guy individually because I'm going to sue him for more than what his insurance policy is. I thought it was great. Now I get two insurance companies to get their money from. You must individually and officially serve them. Don't forget that. Now, moving into the constructive notice and requirement to perform, you notice I don't say affidavit. There's people around this country telling you to send an affidavit. An affidavit comes from the word affiliate. You are opening your hand and saying, I want to shake hands with you scumbags. With your scumbags, I'm meaning in the point of their scumbag laws, their Canaanite laws. I'm getting my hands dirty when I have, you know, when I affiliate. An affidavit is just stupid. You go out there and volunteer all this information, it doesn't make them do one damn thing. A constructive notice and requirement to form kicks them in the ass. They have to do something. Now, I'm going to break this off right now. We're going to finish up on this part, on the rest of this next week. This is a good point to quit because we're going to be getting into the body of the constructive notice. Some people don't like my tone. Some people don't like the way that, you know, I just sit there and hammer and hammer and hammer. Well, you know what? I don't care. I do what works. I do what I know works. I have a track record, and I am sick and tired of watching these patriot for profits that don't know squat from Shinola sit there selling books and charging people money, and they've never done what they've said. And that upsets me. And I'm not here to become a celebrity. I could care less about being a celebrity. I'm not here to make money. I'm here to do a job. And my job is contained in Ezekiel chapter 33, and that's warn the wicked. And I'm here to do another job. That's contained in chapter 18, verse 4 of the book of Revelation, to come out of Babylon. And I'm ordered by my Christ, freely you have received and freely you shall give. And that's what I'm doing. And some of you people call me periodically and send me letters, and I'll tell you what, I thank you, and I thank the Lord, and I praise and bless him, because some of you people, you motivate me. You may let me know this is why I'm doing it. And I don't, you know, I'd love to have a million people listening to this and doing it. There's probably not that many. Most people, oh, they're getting all excited the first week or two. It is those individuals that are have tenacity. That I will be reaching. And they are the men and the women I want to reach. They are the ones who will keep hammering. They won't give up. They have the never say die attitude in them. That's the people I want. those people with those kinds of eyes and ears. I don't care about those without eyes and ears. I feel sorry for them, but I don't care about them. Think about that. Quit being so damn nice to the idiots. Start being selective of who you're around. Separate from evil. We will continue on this. And I thank you. This is Jerry Kirk, and the government knows my name, and they know my address, and they know my phone number. And I welcome them. You want to come mess with my brothers and sisters? Come get me first. Make my day. The Christ said, fear not he that can kill your body but not your soul. Fear he who can kill your body and your soul. I fear the Christ. I don't fear the Canaanites. I respect them. They're damn smart, and they got a lot going for them. And I do not underestimate my opposition, but I do not fear them. And you may not fear your opposition. Fear only your master, the Christ. And I offer again blessings to those with eyes and ears that do not want to allow fear to enter their life except when they're talking about what the Christ can do and will do if you do not come out of Babylon. I love those with spirit of never say die type of spirit. And I'm not talking about this religious spirit. I'm talking about an attitude of never say die. Let us all stand up. Let us all demonstrate the courage. And when we demonstrate courage, others will stand too. One at a time. One man, one woman. And when you stand, one of your neighbors is going to stand. They're waiting for you to stand. Think about that. You think you're waiting for them? No, they're waiting for you. I challenge you to stand and follow what the Lord has put in your heart. And if you keep waiting, and you wait too long, and your neighbor doesn't stand because you waited too long, who do you think the Christ is going to blame? Probably you. Blessings. See you next week. Thank you so much.
Simply hold your horses. To rush would be nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it, every time, like the man says one more time, nice and easy does it, nice and easy.